That's why I got a donut, actually.
Okay, we are going to bounce around a few scriptures. So we'll see how it goes. Let's start in John 7, 37 through 38. And then we're going to look at Matthew 11. All right, so in John 7, 37 through 38, Jesus says, "All you thirsty ones, come to me. Come to me and drink. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says." So I want to focus on the "all you thirsty ones," okay? Then in Matthew 11, I think starting in verse 27. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 27 to 30, he says, he's praying and before this, and he says, "But the Son is able to unveil the Father to anyone he chooses. Are you weary?" And then he starts speaking to people. "Are you weary carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I'll refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with me. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You'll find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear." Doesn't feel like that sometimes. In the way that life is. But these are words from Jesus. And I love how he says this before. "I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways." Doesn't mean like automatically you know the ways. You will learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle. So in this, like, sometimes I believe, like, I'm bouncing around, sorry, in my mind a little bit. When he says that I'm an oasis, what is in an oasis? Like, when you think of a desert, what's present in an oasis?
Water.
Water, right? And so he talks about, if you're thirsty, if you're burdened, if you're heavy, come to the oasis. And who has owned a plant in their house before, right? Has in the past, right? Yes.
Yeah, I died.
I know.
That's hazard does.
And it's like budding now.
Okay, so it's coming back to life.
Oh, good.
Because it needed water, right? And if you watch like different plants, as they have a lack of water, the things that happen to them, they shrivel up. But there are plants that it's crazy. They look totally dead. Give them some water and they can start to come back. Mm. So
poinsettias are very famous for doing that.
Yeah, they start to look all droopy and then they can come back. And there's so many plants that, with a lack of water, they start to look dead, and with water, they start to come back to life. And he's saying that all who are thirsty, and I don't think that a lot of people know that they're actually thirsty. They know that something's lacking, but they don't know what that actually means. They don't know what's missing in their lives, right? And a lot of people feel like they have it all, and it's all together, but you know, even people who have millions and millions and millions of dollars, many of them, you talk to them, like, a lot of them feel lonely. They feel like they are not satisfied. They feel like they this desire for more because something inside of them isn't satisfied with him, right? And so this thing of, like, people don't always know that they're thirsty. People don't always know that they're hungry for him. People have oftentimes numbed how they're feeling, and they can't connect with what's actually happening. And that's what we've talked about a couple weeks ago, is just being present, being connected with, like, what's actually going on with you right here. Like, right now, like, when we actually feel hungry, like, or we feel sad or we feel excited, sometimes we don't have a space to actually feel those emotions. We don't feel like we have space to do that. We don't feel like we're allowed to grieve. We've talked about how we can hold joy and grief together at the same time, but that feels weird. It's like, how can I be joyful about something, and yet I should be grieving this person that I've lost, right? Mm-hmm. And so this thing of, like, how to check in with who we are and what's happening. And in our, especially modern day society, we are so good at distracting ourselves from how we actually feel that people don't really know what's going on, right? And the medication is often taken. I'm not against medication for, you know, serious things, but I think a lot of people take medication just to numb, just so they don't feel that hurt and that pain and figure out what's really going on. So a lot of people don't know that they're actually thirsty or hungry for him. And when my mom, She messaged me. She's like, "Oh, I've got some grape juice. Do you want me to pick up some bread?" And I was like, "Oh, that'd be awesome." And so I started thinking about communion. And I started thinking about the idea of this table. There's an image that's floated around on Facebook that I've seen. It's like kind of through this forest. And it's this winding table with like leaves as decorations and this food and these place settings. Has anybody seen that? Mm-hmm. Like it's beautiful, right? And for Rev leaders, before we do like our Rev emerging leaders, like those that are leaders in the different communities, we come together at Tommy and Chrissy's house, and Chrissy had prepared this table out in the back, and they just gotten a bunch of food, and people helped her. They just put food on the table, they had these place settings, and it was all decorated. It was absolutely stunning, right? And there was a place for every single person. And so I started thinking about communion, you know, and some people, like I said, aren't aware that there is even a table to come to. They don't know that there's something that can be provided for them to satisfy what their longing is, right? Or what they're thirsty for. And so I started thinking about that table, and we talked about, I don't know, a couple months ago, just that idea of that we all have a place at that table, right? And really being able to be solid in that. Like, I have a seat there. I remember somebody that I was praying for at an encounter one time, and I just had this image of a seat at God's table that had his name carved in the wood. So it wasn't just a random seat that was found, oh, let's make some space for you, but it was actually carved with his name. Like it was a specific place for him. And so I started, you know, thinking, kind of like bridging these together, and I started thinking like, as Christians as a whole around the world, it's very easy for people to start to judge and say that some people are actually not allowed. And we don't say that necessarily vocally, but it happens in actions or it happens in judgments, right? And so before we come to the table and we start to envision what that table looks like, I want to talk about what are some things that are very divisive currently right now. You know, not just in our political climate, but just as a world. I do this with my students. And as I teach students also at Westminster, like we talk about what are some lessons we need to do to help to bridge people together. And it feels like such a interesting time in our world and how divisive. Well, you're this and I'm this, right? And so oftentimes people have this idea like, well, if you're that, then you're not welcome or we're not actually connected. We did an activity with my students and it was a simple one. We're going to go deeper with it. But we all stood in a circle and the kids stood up and they said, you're like me if you... And so if you have some siblings, so the kids got up and they had to switch seats here. You're like me if you, you know, have both of your parents alive. Or you're like me, you know, like, you're like me if you like sports. And we just started to see what are the commonalities between people. Simple activity, but we're going to go deeper with it. But I want to start to think about what are some things that tend to divide us. I'm here, but you're not welcome in my camp, right? So I want you to throw out some ideas. What are some things that are divisive in our world right now?
Immigration.
Okay, so immigration. Mm-hmm. So you're born here versus like you're not born here, right?
Mexico.
Right, you're from another place. Okay.
There's different religions. I mean, okay. You hear about it all the time. Mm-hmm. It was in the news yesterday. Mm-hmm. This former Marine is suing a school district principal and a teacher because they were teaching Islamic studies and his daughter's a born-again Christian.
Okay.
And he's suing the school district because he doesn't want his daughter...
to be exposed to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So religion, what mm-hmm. else? What are some other things?
Economic status.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other things that can be divisive?
Mm-hmm. Books.
Okay, books. How so?
Before I got them, people with tattoos. Like,
oh, looks. I think you said books.
No, looks.
So I was like, books, okay. Sure, books. Oh,
but
looks.
Ones, yeah.
Not good ones.
Good ones, okay. Yeah. How do we determine? Looks, yes.
But I mean, because, right. I mean, you go into some places and you see people with tattoos and whatever, and they're automatically judged.
Okay.
I know people that have their head tattooed, and I think it's pretty cool, but people don't want to hire them because it's just mm-hmm. not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So physical, mm-hmm. physical appearance. What else?
Mm-hmm.
Lifestyles. Mm-hmm. Like what?
Okay. Like I had to leave the bar because I wouldn't go and drink drinks and do drugs with the people that were working there, so I was treated like trash. So that's one of the reasons why I left the bar
when we got here. Okay. Lifestyle. What you agree to do?
Mm.
What you want to be engaged in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Education.
Race.
Mm-hmm.
Education. whether or not you have a degree or you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Abilities.
Okay, yep.
If you're disabled or not.
Yep.
Their orientation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sexual orientation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we could go on and on. There's a lot of things that can be divisive. Like, if you, some kids won't play with other kids because their parents aren't married. You know, they're like, oh, you have divorced parents? Like, what, you know, that's weird. You know, because they don't understand. And so it's interesting with kids and kind of what they learn and what they pick up on and then what they're told that they can't do, or people who celebrate certain holidays and don't celebrate other holidays, right? And so it's very easy, and it's really subconscious. There is no person in this world who doesn't have biases and stereotypes. You're not going to find one person who's perfect in the way that they see other people and just accepting of all people. There are things that are ingrained in us or how we grow up that we learn certain ways, and it doesn't mean that there are specific actions that go behind that, but there are ways that we look at people. And this is not to judge people, it's just it's human nature. We categorize because we want to understand somebody. So if we hear that you're Republican or you're Democrat or something, then we say that you're this type of person, right? If that's your political view, then you're this type of person. If you come from a split family, then you're going to be like this. Or if you come from this side, west side, or east side in Salt Lake, like it's a huge thing growing up. So you're a west side kid, you're an east side kid, right? And so there's these divisions that can happen. And we want to say as a church, and I'm talking church like a global church, that we are welcoming of everybody and saying everybody has a place at the table. But do we actually act that way? And I have to say that oftentimes, no. Oftentimes we say that everybody is welcome, but in our actions, we don't. And we judge people based on the way that they look or what they're doing or different things. And I like in that verse that Jesus says, come, learn my ways. You know, we expect people to be a specific way when they say that they are following Jesus, right? And yet for all of us, where it, how long it's taken us to get where we are, maybe we've only been on the journey for 6 months, a year, 38 years. Where we are now is not where we were before, and we are learning and growing. And yet we expect people to come with everything clean. We say that, come as you are, right? That's used all the time. Like, come as you are, come as you are, open door, come as you are. And yet people who then come as they are often don't feel welcome, right? They don't feel accepted. And so this table can often become very, I want to say, homogeneous, like the one type of people that's sitting there. Or you can picture the table, it's like, okay, well, in this section of the table are these this group of people, and this section is this group of people, and this section is that group of people. So I want to start to challenge, and you to start to challenge, what are some thoughts that come into your mind when you think of different types of people, right? A lot of some of the really hard ones right now in our society, in American society right now, is whether or not you're Democrat or Republican, right? And so if you hear that somebody is Democratic, you are going to expect their one specific way, and there are certain people that will not associate with other people. I'm not saying that's everybody, but there are people who will not. And if you're not Republican, you're not voting the correct way, right? And it just gets where politics and religion gets really, really messed up, right? And so we've said, like, yeah, we're saying that everyone's welcome, but on Sunday mornings is one of the most segregated times of the week. The churches that people go to are often so, the people that they go to church with are often so much like them that it's the diversity isn't there, right? And so kind of an interesting thought. And so I think as believers, as Christians, we often allow people who are super vocal to speak for us instead of us speaking for ourselves. And what I mean is that, like, people who are really vocal and really, like, they think it's passion, but in this anger start to speak out against things, they become the vocal ones, and everyone's like, well, that's how Christians are. Well, no, it's not how all Christians are, but that's the ones that are being vocal. I was watching a YouTube TED Talk video by a girl who grew up in the Westboro Baptist Church. And if you ever get a chance, I highly recommend you going on and looking it up. But it's a TED Talk video, and she just talks about how she broke out of the Westboro Baptist Church and what she did when she was young and just how much anger and hatred she had toward people growing up, but that's what she learned. And then she started to, like, to attack people kind of via this social media and via tweeting, and there were people who were just started asking her questions. And instead of attacking her back, they started asking questions. And so she got in this like dialogue with people. And then she's like, oh, these people aren't who I thought they were. And the questions that they're asking me, and she started to change how she viewed them. And then she was willing to sit down and actually meet with them. And she started to see, like, there is a whole world out here I wasn't aware of, right? And so in the process, she ends up leaving the Westboro Baptist Church with her sister. She has no connection with her family anymore. They won't have any connection with her. And she married one of the guys that she was tweeting with. And he was a Christian that she was communicating with. And now, like, and she's still a Christian. Like, she grew up in that religious, hateful group, honestly. And now has found, like, just true liberty and just loving people. But we all have little things that come up that are judgments towards other people. They're going to be there. And so how, instead of being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that, it's like, okay, let me recognize that. What do I do with that? You know, and if we really, and I say this a lot, if we really want anybody to be welcome here, then we have to be able to be willing to have it look messy. Right? There are going to be messy people that come to the table. And they are not going to come all prim and proper and perfected and have all everything ironed out. Right? It's just not possible. And so it's been interesting, and I'm trying not to be political, like, you know, on Sundays.
People can't help themselves.
and I'm...
My professor does it every... My English professor, every...
Goes
Thursday.
Political. Well, no, I'm not... So
no,
what
no,
I'm saying,
I'm not beating you. I'm just saying...
No, yeah. It's hard.
Out.
It's there.
Yeah.
And I'm not going political with this, but I just want to bring up, like, so it's interesting right now. So Kanye West, and I'm just throwing this out there, so we're going to talk a little bit about Kanye West. He's the rapper that has become...
He came during Emerging Leaders.
Yeah, he was performing there. Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's interesting just the articles that are written about him, right? And so I've read several, and there are people who are just like so pro what's happening, and they're like, yeah, it's real. And other people are like, it's so fake. It's all about merchandise. It's all about him selling things, right? And a good friend of ours who used to live here, his name's Kellen Criswell, and he took some time. He does some stuff for Calvary Chapel. That's what he's a part of. But he wrote this article, says 8 things I would like to say to Kanye if I could. And it's really, like, if anybody wants, like, just a link, like, I could send out the link, because it's really interesting how he talks about it. And one of the things that he says, he's giving advice, if he could sit down with Kanye West, he's like, hey, what's that? He said, I might pull out something out of it, so I'm going to grab it back from you. But he pulls out some things and just saying, very last thing, because you go to number 8, and what it says on number 8.
Welcome to the family.
So his last thing is like, welcome to the family. And in it, he's like, because Kanye West has been very vocally supportive of Trump in this conversion. And a lot of people are very angry about that. And so in that, and the choices that he's making, people have written him off. And some of the things that he said about, like, the African American community and different things, he's rubbed people, like, the wrong way. And one of the things that Kellen writes is, he's like, you have a lot of passion when you first get saved. He's all, just be careful how you use it. And it's really important that you're grounded with people who can guide you through this. And I would be very careful that you don't mix religion and politics. You know, just some advice. But in it, he's saying, like, you know what? We've all been on this journey, and we make mistakes when we first say yes to him. You know? And we're going to do things that aren't going to be exactly right. Now, I'm not telling you, like, my view on Kanye West. I have not sat down with him. I don't know his heart, and that's not my place to know his heart. But this thing that he's been releasing, this Jesus is King album, and I bought it for the sake of I want to hear it, because I want to hear what people are, like, actually saying, you know, about it. And in some of them, like, music, like, it's like Jesus is King, and it's got this, like, gospel choir, and he raps about certain things, and there are little political things that maybe, like, pop in, and he has something about, like, Chick-fil-A, and, like, anyway, there's some interesting things that he pulls in, but the focus is Jesus is King. And so it's interesting that people are so quick to be like, oh, it's just because he's getting money off of it. Well, let's take who Kanye West is. Kanye West is a multimillionaire, married to a Kardashian, right? So, like, comes from money, 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 money. And if there is a conversion, are you going to expect that connection to money is just gone like that. You know, like, there is time for people to relearn new patterns. I'm not saying what he should do and what he shouldn't do. I'm just saying what he's being judged for. People are expecting, well, you're a public figure. You should have this all figured out right away. Boom. You've got this. You know how to do this life. Right? You know how to be a Christian. And then some people are banking on him because he's such a public figure that it's going to help them politically. These evangelicals that are now using him and, like, wanting him to come and speak and stuff. And somebody, I read this great article and said, you know, I would recommend people who are newly saved, they shouldn't be asked to go and preach somewhere. Because they're so new and learning things out that you're putting them out there. It's so exposing. Well, and what Kanye West has done is created this Sunday, you know, service thing and put himself in this place of this, like, leadership. That's probably not wisdom. And a lot of people who hit the ground running as Christians and go full force, they're excited, but oftentimes in the long run, they're not grounded with people and something happens and then they fall. Their lives break apart. And so instead of throwing darts at people because we don't fully agree with what's happening, why don't we choose love and support and saying, wow, that's awesome. Let me give you some advice. And I love how Kellen, like, writes this. Like, it really is poignant.
Oh, that's Kellen?
Kellen Criswell. Oh, awesome. Yeah. And it's written so well. There's no like judgment in it, and there's also no like, I know your heart. He's like, we've all been a mess. We've all come from brokenness. And so at the table, what does it look like when somebody actually sits down? Right? Are they all polished up? You know, we go to Guimas Island every 3 years, and there's these agates there. And I know not everybody loves the act, like finding the agates, and there's no judgment on that. But I wish
just a little.
But there's these agates that we find because our grandpa taught us how to find them. So we find these, and some of them, because of the rocks, they are so polished. Like, somebody found one that you could have found in a jewelry store. And then there's other ones that it's hard to even tell that they are agates. Like, they're so, like, crusted with other types of rocks, or it's like parts are crystal and part is, like, hard rock. And so it's interesting, the quality of rocks that you find, right? And I remember, like, there are some people like, well, I just keep the best, and they throw back a ton, and I never throw that agates back. That's wrong. So I have jars of them at my house. I'm very passionate about my agates. My cousin has been now beating me at how many I found on the years that we go, and that's hard for me to swallow. But some of them are super polished and some are not. You can take them and put them into a rock polisher, right? And it's not like the next day they're done. It is days and days. And then you change out the how coarse the grit is that you polish them in. It starts like larger and it gets finer and finer to get to this polished, beautiful rock. And it is a process, right? And I think what I'm challenging us in is that it's very easy for us to read these articles or see these things or that's just fake. I don't know, Kanye.
You don't?
No, it does.
You
okay? Good. I was like, what's happening here? But I have a hard time with celebrity. I just have a hard time. I am quick to judge celebrities. I really am. I didn't enjoy Lion King because Beyonce was one of the voices, and one of the songs in it, she goes off on these just like hip hop lyrical things that just took me away from the movie. And I'm like, that's not Lion King. You added another song just for Beyonce. Like, I have a hard time with people like, she's like the
Showboat
queen, right? Like, I have a hard time with that. So I know in my heart I have biases towards celebrities. I just do. I have a hard time how hungry they are for attention, all the money they have. Like, I just do. And so I got to check myself with a lot of that. Like, it kind of ruined Lion King for me. So, anyway, it's easy to then just rest on those and not be willing to challenge the views that you have, right? Kanye West before, like, I was reading articles and, like, just the way he would talk about people and the way that he would treat, like, people, like, all of that stuff, like, wasn't, like, a great guy, right? And then there's this change that happens and everyone wants to say, I don't believe that it's real. I don't believe that it's real. You know, the way that the package is or the way that he's doing this, it's all about money, it's all about that. Whatever. There are people who are hearing about Jesus through him.
Yeah.
Right? There are people, like, over there that, like, gathered thousands of people and heard a choir singing about Jesus is Lord and Jesus is King. Mm-hmm. And he talks about one, like, in one of his songs that he's rich now again because of Jesus. So he's really on this prosperity gospel, right? And so some people are now attacking him on the prosperity gospel, which is other, you know, other people have. So the prosperity gospel is like, if you follow God and you're right with him, then you're going to become rich. That's really the big thing. Joel Osteen?
Yeah.
He's very big on the prosperity gospel. I have a hard time with it because I have met people in the village of Africa who their hearts are fully God's and they are still living in poverty. So I have a hard time with that. It works for people who are wealthy and have a path to wealth. It doesn't work for everybody. So anyway, I'm just saying that's like I have a hard time with that. But there are people who have been reached by what he's doing. There are people who have been reached by Joel Osteen. I not me, but some people have. I'm being honest. Like not me. Like I have a hard time with celebrity people. I just do. Like I have a hard time with that image. And I need to check myself because then I start to judge and I'm like, I don't know what's good. I don't know these people's hearts. Right? Is it the flavor that I would choose? Clearly not. You know, like, look at the room that, you know, like, we're in. This is my flavor. Like, this is how I tick. This is important to me. Millions of people being connected to me, no, I can't do it. Right? Like, that's just too much. I love getting to know people and having family. Like, that's important to me. So, but in that, I know it's easy for me to judge where people are and what they're going through. So this table that we come to, first recognizing we have a seat there, but then recognizing those seats around us are filled with people who look nothing like us. Right? They don't come from the same backgrounds. They don't come from the same wealth. They could be super rich or very poor. Right? They don't have the same skin color. They don't come from the same country. They don't have the same, I don't know. It doesn't come in the same package. When Jesus said, come, he says, believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being. That's what's possible for anybody who says yes to him. How it happens could be a journey and a process. That girl who left Westboro Baptist, she thought she was doing the right thing by attacking people and yelling things. She's like, I believed it 100%. I believed that everybody else was not as good as we were. She started to meet people. She started to hear their stories. She started to sit down with people and have discussion and dialogue, and she realized there's a lot more in common that she had with those people, but they were just people doing the best they could in their lives. And she realized that the judgment that was coming out was not lining up with Scripture. She started reading the Bible more for herself and being like, that doesn't match with what Jesus said. She started studying it herself and he's like, he welcomed everyone. He sat down with sinners, people who were drunkards. You know, like, where would he actually sit to have a meal today is the places that some of us probably wouldn't be comfortable going.
The ramen bar downtown.
Right? And so he wants everyone to come. But he also wants the wealthy. He wants the heart of every single person. And so it's easy to say like, oh, they judge me, and then to not realize the judgments that we have towards other people. And it's easy to say that this table looks full of a lot of people that look exactly like me. Right? That have my same culture. Now, one of the things that like with Rev, we do come from a lot of different backgrounds. Right? I mean, there are a lot of people in this community who are super into hardcore. I'm not.
No.
Right? I know, it's crazy. I know. Are you serious right now? But in that, in some places, like, I remember a guy telling me, and I use a lot of stories the same, but if you hear him more than once, it's okay. But when he knew that I was going to be joining Tommy and doing stuff with Rev, he's like, really? He's like, I just can't see you and Tommy running together. And I was like, well, that's interesting. We are. and Tommy and I are very different. But, like, you know, from that hardcore scene, and a lot of people have been drawn to Rev because of the hardcore scene and the connection with Tommy. Not everybody, you know. I do not enjoy hardcore, you know. But, like, the heart, I know. It's okay. We can still. But like being able to come from different backgrounds, I think a beautiful church would be so diverse that you would come and be hard to find people who looked the same, who acted the same, and they were in the same room. You know, we've had some people who have come here and they said it was hard at first because it was full of people that weren't really like them. And they're like, but they felt like, well, I'm supposed to stay. You know, and it's like, it's easy to say like what we're not like. And that's going back to what I do with my students. It's easy to say and recognize the things that are not similar. You know, there is not a certain place at the table for just Republicans, right? Just Democrats, just this, right? And so, but we do that and we divide ourselves and we choose how to categorize and then we start to place worth on different groups above other groups, right? The only way that we can start to combat that is to become aware of our biases, to become aware of the ways that we think about people as we don't want to use the word less often, you know, like, but we often do look down on people and we think of them as less, right? And it's and we wouldn't give that the language, we wouldn't say that. Did you see that person? They are less worthy than me. You know, like, that's not going to come out of our mouths because we want to save face. But in our hearts, or the language that we use about certain groups puts them lower, right? Oh, thank you. I don't know who you're talking to, but... it's amazing.
She's looking at whiskey, so.
Do you notice how all of those pictures are so similar?
You're really cool.
Did you do the yellow spots? Did you do those?
I did.
Oh, okay. I was like, whoa. There's a pattern here. She's not, okay. She's not that brilliant.
She told me to put her nose so basically. She's
learning. Just kidding. So, as we take communion, I want you to envision what this table actually looks like. And I want you to envision what are the different types of people who are actually at this table, sitting by you, not just your closest peeps, right, that are in your little group. I want you to think about the table and how mixed it is, right? And you have people at that table who have said yes 1 second and they're at the table, right? And people who have been sitting at the table for 30 years. But it doesn't mean that that place wasn't there for those people before, right? And I don't believe that it's God saying, oh my gosh, we have another one. Where are we going to put him? You know, like, can you move over a little bit? I've got a paper plate. You know, like, I think I got some extra plates and I'm going to throw in an extra place. It's a place set for each person who says yes. There's no one that's closer to the head. There's no favorites. When I was in the car today, just kind of driving, and I had the song kind of going that, you know, God doesn't have favorites. You know, he doesn't say that there's no more room at the table. You know, it's this idea that, like, anybody who says yes to him can come. And in their lives, you may not agree with the expression of their belief in him, but doesn't make it any less of a connection. You know, and... so anyway, I want to take communion. That's basically what I want to say, but I want you to, in this moment, it is about you coming to the table. Because I really think that that's what communion is. It's us continuing to say, I have a seat here. I'm welcome at the table. But this is going to be broader than just you today during communion. And envisioning, and if you need to close your eyes, if you have an imagination, not everybody, you know, some people are boring. But if you...
I know you're talking about me. Jeez.
Who are you talking about? If you're able to, just kind of picture, what does that look like? And I want you to take, like, the most diverse group of people, right? And put them together at this table and just spend time allowing him to challenge. What are some biases you have? You know? It seems like one thing will divide people, like gun ownership, right? It's crazy how divisive that can be with people, right? Those who have guns and those who don't believe in having guns. And they're like, oh, see ya. Me and Isaac, we're not like that. Yo, bro. So I want Rev to be a place that anybody could bring anybody, and they are going to feel welcome. That they're going to have a seat, that they're going to be at home here, no matter the mess that they're walking through, no matter how long it takes for them to understand who they are in Him, no matter what the journey and the process is, that they know that they are safe here. And I think more and more churches need that. But it is, honestly, Sunday mornings are the most segregated time of the week. Because at work, it's not as much. And you go to school, and you go to different, you have a lot of different people who are put together. Mm. And yet, Sundays are often when people just gravitate to people who are most like them. I don't think we are in that exact same strain. I think that we push, you know, ourselves to love people. So, but we have ways to grow as well. So Aaron's going to play a song, and we're going to take communion. Are you ready?
That's why I like that Cotopaxi store, right on the opening the door all the way over here.